So Parsha Shoftim has a lot of capital punishment in it. I wanted to focus on some aspect of capital punishment, especially through the lens of the Ramban, specifically with regard to a rotseach, a murderer. A lot of important fundamental ideas that emerge from this Ramban in terms of both Parshanut, in terms of also Yesodos. So we're going to go to toward the end of the Parsha, just before Shishi. So this would be Yutes, the Psukim just before Shishi, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and basically Yud Gimel is what we're going to focus on mostly. So we have a situation in the Torah, and let's also keep in mind the end of the Parsha, which is Egla Rufa, where you have a situation of a murder that you don't know who did the murder, and how important it is to find a way to make up some kind of balance for the fact that there was a murder. That situation of a murder calls for some response, and that response, of course, generally goes into the requirement to carry out capital punishment against the person who committed the act. If it was Bisholig, of course, there's a different outlet, and that is the Ari Miklat, but obviously that's a safe haven. If he's not going to go there, then he's also vulnerable, because apparently there's something unique about Ritzicha that puts the Rotseach, you know, in a situation that he really ought to give up his life and forfeit his life, and it's totally what is justified in a case like this. I want to understand a little bit about what this means. So let's look first at the Psukim over here. We've had many cases of capital punishment, of course, until now, but this specifically is where there's a couple of interesting nekudos in the Ramban. V'chiya ish sonigre, ehu, a person hates his friend, and he ambushes him, and he kills him, and he runs to an ir miklat, thinking that he'll be saved. And then the Torah tells us that the Zakenim, the Sanhedrin, will send over to the ir miklat, and they will remove him from there, because he, in fact, did not kill Bishogeg. This was premeditated, v'arav lo v'kamalav. And therefore, v'nasno sobiyad go hadam. So the Beis Din will surrender him to the hands of the go hadam, and he will be put to death. In other words, presumably by the go hadam. Now, what is not clear is, did we have due process here? Did we have Edom and Hasra? Did we not? It's not 100% clear in Psukim. But clearly, he murdered the Beis Din. That much is clear. Now, the Torah adds the following. Lo sachos eincha alav. The Torah tells us that you should not have compassion on this murderer. He's committed murder b'mezid. Uvi'arta dam hanoki mi'Yisrael, and you shall destroy dam hanoki. We have to explain what that means here, because what we're really destroying here is the person who committed the murder of somebody innocent. So the wording is a little bit difficult. We'll get to that. Uvi'arta dam hanoki mi'Yisrael v'tov lach, that will be good for you. So let's see what to make of these sukim, specifically this last of the three. Lo sachos ein chalav. The Torah says, don't show compassion on this person who committed murder. So Rashi has a comment that the Ramban quotes. What does Rashi say is quoted by the Ramban? Shelo tomar. That you should not say. Why would you think that you should have compassion on this person who committed murder? Why? Shelo tomar. You shouldn't say, well, harishon kvar ne'arag. The first person, Nebuch, was killed already, right? Lama anu horgin azeh, why would we want to kill this person who committed the murder? V'nim sushneim harugin. And then we'll have two people that are killed. Lashon Rashi misifrei. These are the words of Rashi from the Sifrei. Now, if we pause for a second, what seems to be the point of these words? Why would a person say we shouldn't murder the person who, we shouldn't commit, kill the person who murdered? Because the first person was killed already, so now what are you going to gain? You'll kill a second person.
That always struck me, this Rashi and Sifri always struck me as pretty remarkable, because it's literally the same anti-capital punishment argument that is
used
to this very day. It's thousands of years old, and then yet it's the same debate. That's literally the that Rashi's saying, the Torah's telling us, don't say X. X is what actually is a very prominent argument.
That's okay. But what exactly is the argument? So at first glance, the argument could be made really about anything. You're not going to undo the damage by killing the person who did the sin. A person was Mechal Shabbos. Okay? By killing the person with skila, the deed was done. The damage was done. The Shabbos was desecrated. So why is it a specific svara, specific here, to a case of murder. You're not going to undo the sin. So why specifically is it used over here as a lash? That would be the question to think about. The Ramban is, because of that, is going to tweak what this means. But the argument is there. The merit is there. Why would you want to kill the person if he already murdered? But it sounds like it's a specific svara that's relevant. Hi, Mayor. It's a specific svara that's relevant to the case of Ritzicha. So, yeah, but again, why would you want... The question is, the Torah says don't have mercy. If you would have wanted to have mercy, what would have been the basis for having mercy? So you could argue, I'm against capital... Your point as well. I'm against capital punishment because what are you achieving? So then why would the Torah only say this specifically over here? I mean, the Torah says it a few places, but like, why not every situation? Okay, so then you're saying there's the basis is deterrence, and that's the counter argument for the pro capital punishment argument. It's deterrence. Okay, but meanwhile, but the svara that would have been said not to do it, why is it specific to this? So this is a question before you even continue the Ramban. If you take the Sifri in that way, and let me just read the language of the Sifri. Rashi often quotes Mamari Chazal with his own language. So the quote that we had is Rashi's words, just to use the words of the Sifri itself. The language is as follows: Lo sachos ein chalav shema tomar hol v'nerag zeh lamanu boim lachu v'damo shel zeh. Rashi added here, and therefore two people are killed. That's interesting. Therefore two people are killed. The language of Sifri is just: if this guy is killed already, lamanu boim lachu v'damo shel zeh tamid lama lo sachos ein chalav. So I found a couple of them. Maybe we'll have time to get there. I'd like to get there. We weren't Makis this year. I have a Talmud here online, so he knows what I'm thinking. But I don't know if we'll get there or not. The Edom Zomim is Dafka. The interesting thing is that Kasha Asa, if they actually cause the person to die, then they don't get punished. That's ironic. And yet if they only attempted to do it, that's when they get killed. But in this situation, what? All right, so let me first tell you before the Ramban goes on, there's a Perish on Rashi called Be'er Basadeh. He asked the question I just asked you. He says, why are we only asking the question by murder? Every situation a person's Chayav Misa, Dar doesn't always say next to that, Lo Sachos Eincha. Because the answer is, the Torah says, you have to put him to death. So what do you mean, Lo Sachos Eincha? You know, he did the Avera, so that's it. There's a crime, there's a punishment that fits the crime. So the fact is, he did an Avera called murder. So why are you suddenly getting into the nitty-gritty of what murder is, and you already did it, the deed is done. The deed is always done. So like, why would it be specific?
Maybe because of the severity of Tzelem Elokim?
Yeah, but again, the argument, the Ramban is going to say, the Ramban is going to say what you're saying. You're quite right. But let me first give you the other answers. The Ramban is going to say what you're saying. That specifically, the argument is made by murder itself. You'll see. The Perish Be'er Basadeh says, I'll tell you what I think it means. Dafka here is different because the Ikar Mitzvah is for the Goel Hadam to kill the Rotzeach. As we know, they hand him over to the Goel Hadam. So you might think, suppose there is no relative, there's no Goel Hadam. So, or the Goel Hadam is timid, he can't bring himself to act to do, you know, to kill the murderer. So he can't do it. So maybe you think, okay, at this point, let it be, you know, why bring somebody else into the mix to carry out the killing of this person? Why does this person have to now kill a person who already killed someone else? So therefore, after the first guy was killed already, the deed is done, it's over with. Bishlam et Goel Hadam, I understand, but if he's not going to do it, or he's not around, or there's no Goel Hadam, so that's the Chiddush of the Sifrei, according to the Be'er Basadeh. So in that specific limited situation, the Torah's Machadesh, even then, not to have mercy. That is the Pshat of the Be'er Basadeh. The Netziv, on the parish of the on the Sifrei, has a different take on it. The same kind of question that we're asking, he learned Pshat in the Sifrei, like we just said, that the deed was done already, so why bother killing the person? So then it says, what kind of question is that? Based in Paskins, he's Chayav Misa. So any time a person's Chayav Misa, you're not going to ask the question, why do it? The deed was done. He's Chayav Misa, he has to be punished. The answer is, the case, says the Netziv, would be, as we mentioned before, we don't know whether there was Eidim and Hasra here. Maybe, technically, he's not Chayiv Misa by Beis Din because he didn't have those requirements. But the Gol Hadam still has the right to act. So the Chiddush says in Netziv is that we hand him over to the Gol Hadam in a case like this since the person actually carried out murder. So that's what the Netziv wants to say. Ma'ir b'mezit b'lo hasra, v'nimsar l'gol sheyinkom mimenu. B'Beis Din, of course, you're not going to make any differentiation in this Avera and any Avera. So that's the Chiddush of the Pasuk. Even a case where Beis Din cannot itself have the due process, but will still give him over to the Gol Hadam. These are the two pshatim so far. The Ramban doesn't accept any of those pshatim. He's bothered by this question implicitly, and he's going to say a specific svar that you were mechaving to just before. Take a look now at the Ramban. After quoting the Sifrei and Rashi, Vahatam, what this means is as follows. Not stam akasha, every time a person is going to be put to death, why should we do it? No, specifically over here. Shelo tomar, that you shouldn't say the following. Here's what the argument is, more sophisticated argument. Shelo tomar, kasher nachus al dama harug, tov she nachus al dama chai. In other words, what's driving you here? He committed murder. He killed a person. He took a human life. So why is it such a terrible thing? Because human life is sacred. If human life is sacred, so then recognize, use that same argument to say, spear the murderer. Because so it's not a time all the time, it will be a specific claim that you shouldn't execute a murderer for his crime of murder, because to the extent that you view his crime as so severe, so heinous, so that's the very reason why he shouldn't be killed for such a crime. Because hagufa, the very fact that you want to value human life, so yes, he did a terrible thing, but lemaisa, spear his life. That's the Ramban's twist on what Rashi is saying from the Sifrei.
Yeah. It's going to work it out that the Mason will get killed, by that.
Okay, what are you asking?
So therefore, again,
you mean let it happen by Hashem. We don't have to be the ones mixing in. All right, okay, you want to add that. This is so far the pshat of the Sifrei. Now, the Ramban goes on, and he has a lot more to say about why the Torah goes out of its way, specifically here by Ritzicha, and even in a few other places, as we'll quote. The Torah doesn't just leave it at they should get killed, but the Torah highlights don't have mercy. V'hanachon, says Ramban, I'll tell you more here. Ki ha-kosuv yitzaveh b'chayvi ha-misos. When people chay miso, the Torah gives a tzivoy uvi'arta ha-ra mikirbecha. That's the expression in the beginning of the parsha by Ovid Avodah Zarah. It's used other places. V'hi mitzvas aseh. This is a mitzvah aseh to put to death those people who committed capital crimes. Now, just to clarify what he just said here, you see, there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban in how to classify Arba Mitzvos Beis Din in Minyan HaMitzvos. Shitas HaRambam is that each one of the Arba Mitzvos Beis Din would be reckoned as a separate mitzvah saseh of the 248 mitzvah saseh, like the Lashon HaMishnah in Sanhedrin, Zum Mitzvah HaNiskalin, Zum Mitzvah HaNisrafin, and so on. For the Rambam, the carrying out mitzvah skila on those who mechuyave misa skila, that's accounted as a separate mitzvah, and so it is Srefa Herod Vechenek. The Ramban has a lot to argue on the Rambam. He says, then why would, for example, I mean, there's a lot to discuss. I mean, why don't we say every person who's chayiv malchus for a given Avera should be a separate mitzvah? We discussed in Shir a little bit, Meir Rabbi remembers. But Umaysa, the Ramban holds that it's not pshat a separate mitzvah saseh of each of the arba mitzvahs based in, but rather a mitzvah klalis. Uviyata or amikirbecha, that's the mitzvah saseh that goes on, the details might be, some people chayiv skila, some people chayiv sreifa, and so on. That's why Ramban uses the language he uses here. So he says, the pasuk is giving us a mitzvah generally to carry out mitzvahs based in, but then there's something more the Torah will sometimes add and emphasize. Avo b'merube hatakolos. When there are people who are real menaces to society, then yazir od b'mitzvahs lo saseh. The Torah will pile on, not just fall back on the mitzvahs saseh of v'yatara mikibecha, but the Torah will actually emphasize it as a lav, meaning shelo yinatzlum yadenu, that these people should not be speared from us, from our hands, lo mipnei mora'am, not because of we might be afraid to start up with them, to take them on, velo shenita lehem rachamim. There'd be one of two reasons why you might not want to carry out Mrs. Beis Din. Either because they're tough people, you don't want to start up with them, or because you have a bleeding heart, liberal soul, and you just don't want to do it. You're anti-capital punishment. So neither of those things should stop you from acting in accordance with the Torah's mitzvah. But the Torah doesn't tell you everywhere. The Torah only tells it to you for people who are especially heinous in their crime, merube hatakalos. So, for example, where else do we find such an expression like over here, lo sachos eincha? So he gives us a few examples. V'kach yizkir b'meisis. So what's the pasuk by Meisis and Pashas Be'ei? It says, lo sachos, lo sachmo, lo sachasa alav. Torah says, don't spear him the misa. V'amar, another example, mechashefa lo sachaya. Now here, it's interesting. He doesn't actually say to kill her, but it uses the expression in a negative. Lo sachaya, don't spear her life. Why does the Torah use a lav as opposed to an asay? Nipnei hayosa rabas hamahuma. This is an expression from Yecheskel. Rabas hamahuma. Hamocheres rabin bechshofeha. Pasuk in Nachum. He's using language of the Tanakh that she basically sells and makes other people get sold by her witchcraft. So this is another example where the Torah doesn't just say kill her, but because it's such a terrible type of a tactic of kishuf, lo sechaya, don't spear her life. Another example is in Parshas Kisetzi at the end of the parsha, by the case of a woman who wants to spear her husband from, there's a fight, and it says that she grabbed on in the private parts of the person who's starting up with her husband, so that's a boshes. The Torah says a katzoses kapa, that's interpreted as a chi of mamon, a boshes, lo sechos einecha. But, okay, Sarah says, don't have compassion. Why use the expression, l'sachos einecha? Mipnei ki ha-pesayim yahalu osa. There are people who are foolish, don't think too well, they're dense. They say, listen, this woman, she did something good. She's protective of her husband's dignity. Biyoso zeres l'bayleha, or she wants to stand up for her husband. That's one reason why people would want to have compassion. O mipnei shaboshes matsui. The Einbo Chisaron Kiss. Ah, you don't think it's such a big deal. It's you want to have compassion. It wasn't such a big deal, Boshes. So that's another example. You have our case, you have Mesis, you have Mechashefa, and you have over there Boshes. One more example. The Chain the Eidim Zomimin. So there, Eidim Zomimin, remember, they didn't actually cause the person to get killed. But the Torah says if they're going to get killed for what they did, the Torah emphasizes, again, the Lashon HaPasuk in our parasha is that you should have them punished. And it says also the language of not to have compassion. It says, lo sachos einecha, nefesh benefesh, and so on. So again, why the Torah is using the expression, lo sachos einecha, says the Ramban, again, the same ideas. V'chein beidim zomimin. Tziva shelo yirachamu aleihem. Ba'avur, why would you think you would have compassion? Shelo nasa be'idusam davar, as was mentioned before. They didn't do any harm. It was only a gemar din that they imposed on the person. O, mipnei shetakalasa meruba. Again, edus is the pillar of a society. You have to have integrity. If you're going to have edim zomen, edim lying, it's going to undermine the essence of a society. Takalasa meruba. So the Torah, whenever it has to do with something like that, a very strong menace to society, or a strong aversion to actually standing up to the person, the Torah adds to the mix the lo sase as well. I want to cross-reference a few other Rambans to show you how the Ramban understood this idea in his Kishkis, not just a commentary over here, but there's several other places that the Ramban highlights the same idea and cross-references what we have over here. I'll give you two other examples in the Ramban in Chumash, and one example in the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. So let's first go to Mechashefa Lo Sechaya in Mishpatim. You see, the Ramban had his whole parish in his mind when he was writing one thing. He knew to write everywhere else. It was a certain shita. Mechashefa lo sechaya, that pasuk in Mishpatim, says the Ramban on that pasuk, Amar l'mala b'chol chai v'misus mos yumas. Earlier in Mishpatim it says mos yumas. V'atam shu chai v'misa. U'mitzvah sasei aleinu l'hamis oso mimashe ne'mar Uviata Ramikirbecha, as we saw before, that the mitzvah say is to kill the person based on Uviata Mikirbecha. Omi Zeba Asmo Yitzava Yumas. So that itself, he says, that counts as the mitzvah Yumas. Interesting what he means by that. Avo Bikan Lo Omar Mechasheva Most Tamus. It doesn't say Mechasheva put her to death. Ki Hech Mirba Lahazir Osanu Belav Shelo Nechaya Osa. Torah wants to make it more stringent to make us warn that as a lav, do not keep her alive. Vahatam, listen to the language and think about how the Ramban had these words in his head, churning in his head. Mipnei shehi tameas Hashem rabas hamuhuma. Remember that expression from our Ramban, same words. Vahashotim niftim achareha. People were foolish, they get seduced by her. Vahechmir ba belav. Vahchein b'chol marbe hatakala. So too with many people who increase as menaces, kigon sha'amar mimesis v'losach melosachasa alav, v'amar b'rotseach v'losikru chofer l'nefesh rotseach. He quotes the pasuk in Maaseh, not to take ransom, asher urash shalamus. So here you see a Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim, that's one Ramban. There's another Ramban earlier in Parshas Ekev I want to quote for you. Right, Nevoros. Yeah. Well, that's something else. Aidan Zolman, if you remember, he mentioned then as mitzvah mechudeshes. You mean the mitzvah itself, not to have compassion? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what to tell you. It's a mitzvah losase. It's connected to already an existing mitzvah. So I don't know if that would be qualifies mechudeshes. Let me read you the Ramban in the beginning of Ekev. The Ramban emphasizes there, Eis HaMishpatim Ha'ela. The Torah says, if you will listen to these Mishpatim. So the Ramban tells us how important Mishpatim are, because Mishpatim are what make a society operate. So I read you two lines from that Ramban. The Hizkir Eis HaMishpatim, Lahazim Ma'od B'Mishpatim, Ki Lo Yia Am Rav Kulo Nizah B'Mitzvah Kulo Anshul Yachtu B'Hem Klal. It's inevitable that people are going to slip and sin here and there. Rak B'Mishpatim Yamidu HaTorah. Kimosh Nemar v'cholam yishmu v'irau v'od ki rabim yirachamu milisko ha'ish v'lisrofoso acharei shenashes ha'avera. See, this is the general argument that we know, not just in specific situations, but in general, people who have compassion. The avera is done already. Why stone the perpetrator? Why put him to death in sreifa? Kimosh Nemar lo sachos einecha. The old sheyiru min hatakifim min amatim, they're afraid of the strong-armed people. Kmo she'amar lo sugur mipnei ish kamishpat de'elokim hu, v'amar b'navi sheker lo sugur mimenu, v'hizkir kol er b'meisis lo sovelo lo sishma elav lo sacho se'incha lo sachma lo sechase, and so on. So therefore, again, the Ramban is very much in sync with the Ramban here. Finally, there's a Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. As you know, after the count of the Ramban, the Ramban has to fill in cases that he thought the Rambam left out based on the fact that he disagreed, just like we mentioned before. The Rambam counted four mitzvahs as say for the Abba Mises Beis Din. The Ramban made it one. So naturally the Ramban is going to have to fill in over there. So the way it works is after he makes his cheshbin of how he argues in the Rambam, he tells you what he thinks should be putting in that the Rambam left out. So after the Losas says, we have the list of the Ramban's Losas says that the Rambam did not mention. And this is mitzvah Yud Gimel of the Losaseis Sheshachach HaRambam. Says the Ramban, a short paragraph. HaMitzvah Yud Gimel Shenimnanu, now notice something interesting. We had a lav by Mesis. We had a lav by Mesis, which is counted by the Rambam. Not to have compassion on the Mesis to spare his life. That's already in the Rambam's Cheshbon. And the katzosas kapa losacho seinecha, that's in the Rambam's cheshbon. What's not in the Rambam's cheshbon? This one. Losachos eincha alav, when it comes to what? When it comes to the murderer. Adam Zolman will have to check out. But let me read you the Ramban here, Mitzvah Yud Gimel. This pasuk is a losase. Shenimnanu milachmo al nefesh ha-rotseach. Hamezid. We should not be held back that we should... In other words, we should not let ourselves have compassion, pity on the murderer. V'hu amro v'nasnu also biad gol hadam v'meis lo sochas ein chalav uviyarta dam anokim yisav v'tov lach. The Indian ha-mitzvah zos Kinitzdavenu b'chol mechuyavim mitzvus beis din b'mitzvus asay. Very similar to the language over here by us. L'kayim b'chol echad mehem as dino. U'b'merube hatakolos husharnu gam b'mitzvus losa asay levaram. K'mo alav haba b'machashefa b'pnei she'i rabas hamahuma. Third time we had that language. Rabas hamahuma. Yispatu lo chaseir hadas v'yachmu alei ma'od. People are going to have compassion. The poor witch. Why are we killing her? She's, you know, she has a nice thing going for her. Uberotseach gam came the peretz hagodol habamizeh, the great breach. Then he quotes the Sifrei, because he apparently he sees it connected to the Sifrei. Russian Sifrei, Shema Tomru, Ho v'nerag zeh, lama anu boin, locho b'domo, tamalomar, losachos einchalav, hine roi lanu lohavi zeh, b'chezbon ha-mitzvos, kenemar b'mesis, losase yotes, u'machzekes yad, I didn't have a chance to look up whether the Rambam counts, in fact, by Adam Zomman, but the Rambam only references the other two, and now he says we have to add this one as well. Now, I want to turn with you to the last part of the Pasuk. It's very grammatically difficult to know Pshat in these words of the Pasuk. We read it all the time, every year, right? Myself, I didn't think until recently, what does it mean? Lo sachos ein chalav. So we touched it very well. The Ramban, the Rashi, do not have compassion on this murderer. We have to put him to death. Uviarta dam hanaki mi Yisrael. V'tovlach. And what do we think it means? That we are to make sure to get rid of the murderer, right? But that's not the words they're saying. What are the words saying? Uviarta dam hanaki mi Yisrael. Ruby, what are you saying? So translate the words for me simply. Tight character. Uviarta dam hanaki mi Yisrael. What is the Torah telling us to do here? You will destroy the innocent blood. What, Moshe?
The Sepharia translation actually gives it a very slight word choice that makes it very understandable. Actually.
Go ahead. What do they say? So somehow the purging is going on something else. So
let me share, there are
multiple perushim here that I can share with you. I was ma'ayin a little bit here in your honor and your schus. Let's begin. Let me just point out the same diuk is the end of the last pasuk in the parsha. So it's not just pshat in this pasuk that we have to figure out, but the same expression. Look at the last pasuk in the parasha by Egla Rufa. The ata tva'er, this is when they bring the Egla Rufa, this is, and if let's say you'll end up finding the murderer, you have to make sure to take care of him, right? How does the Torah put it? The ata tva'er hadom hanaki mikirbecha kisasa yosha b'nei Hashem. So the same type of thing, tva'er hadom hanaki mikirbecha. What exactly does it mean? Here, the ata dam hanaki mi'Yisrael. So what you're going to say in one place probably will have to be the same explanation in the other place, right? So let's start with Targum Unkelus. Targum Unkelus has something to say here. And what does he say in both cases, in both psukim? Starting with our pasuk, Lo sechus enoch alohi, usefalei, that's to be meva'er, right? Usefalei, he adds a word, but not the word that you use in Sfaria. Usefalei, ashtei dam zakai mi'Yisrael v'yetav lach. So for Dam Hanaki, he added Ashtei Dam Hanaki. What is Ashtei? Anyone know? At the end of the parasha as well. The Atifalei Ashtei Dam Zakei. Who knows? What's the Ashtei translation of what Hebrew word? If that's implicit in the Pasuk according to Unkelus. What do you usually use the person who's caught a murderer? How does the Torah express it as? What did he do? He did what to the blood? A murderer is called a what? Damim. Blank, fill in the blank. A what? A Shofech damim. Shofech dam ha'adam. Ashtei is the translation they make of shofech. So what did Unkelus say, in effect? What you have to do will be arta, not dam hanaki, the one who spilled the dam hanaki. That's not Shfaria. That's Unkelus. You have to do is you have to destroy the murderer, meaning the one who spilled dam naki. So that's what he's doing over here in this pasuk and also by Yaglarufa. So that's the pshat that Unklis has read into the pasuk. But now we have other ways to go in this pasuk. I mean, obviously the difficulty is clear. What we're really talking about here is you don't want to destroy the innocent blood. You want to destroy the person who spilled the innocent blood. So how does it read in the words of the pasuk? There is a very creative shot from the Tzvar Hamor. Now, Tzvar Hamor has something more to say what I'm telling you now, but let's start with this. Tzvar Hamor was he was one of the Megiroshi Sfarad. Saba was his last name, Samach Bezayin. He says that, let's say you have a situation of a person who literally, you know he did murder, but you can't prove it, because somehow the Edim didn't quite pass the test, and somehow you know that he did it, but you can't pin it down. So there's a rule of extra legal punishment that Beis Din has a right. It's called Beis Din Makin Ba'onshin Shelo Min HaTorah. So he says the Torah is hinting to that idea over here as well. If you know, Beis Din knows that the person really murdered, but they can't quite nail him, so they have to do what they can to actually kill an innocent person, innocent only in a technical way. He's really guilty, but we have not been able to find him guilty, but we have to use an extra legal mechanism in order to kill him anyway, and in that regard he's called damnaki. So you're being to mevayer damnaki, because after all, murder is murder. It's just that you didn't quite get it. It's interesting because you have the Mishnah Makis at the end of the first parak, how you have situations of Tanoim who found loopholes that they would say, we never kill anybody by Beis Din, but here you have the option of still killing a person anyway. That is the pshat of the...
You can't put the guy in the kippah?
Yeah, that's kippah, but only specific situations, Edus and Yuchedes, and specific situations of kippah. Let's go to the pshat of Svarya that you mentioned before, and well, I don't know if this is Svarya or not, you'll tell me. There's a Svarnu here. The Svarnu... This might be a different, maybe King James version, I think, goes to this pshat. I'm going to tell you now. The Sfarno says as follows. Ubiyata dam hanaki liYisrael, onesh dam hanaki. What you're doing by killing the murderer is you are destroying, getting rid of, ubiyata biur, the onesh of dam hanaki. Ka'amro v'l'oretz lo yuchupar l'adam asher shubach ba kiyim adam shofcho. There's an outstanding sin here on everybody. There's a guilt that's lying on the land, the fact that we didn't kill the murderer. And by killing the murderer, we're going to erase the onesh, the collective onesh that exists because of the fact that the murderer has not yet been put to death. And he says, uvi'arta damanoki is not a separate mitzvah. It's by not having mercy on the murderer, we will thereby be removing the stain of the land. That's how he's going. Damanaki, the stain of the land. But Tov Lach, he says, Shelo Yosef Hotzeach Larug Acherim. It'd be good for you that he won't be a menace to kill someone else. Also, Vanishar Mishmo Biro, other people will hear and be deterred. So that's a Mimela going to be a good benefit out of this. That is the pshat of the Sfarnu. Let's go to the Hamigdavar now. The Hamigdavar opens up something fascinating that the Tzvar Amar also picks up on. This is a very, very spooky idea, but it's very much anchored in the Pasuk and in other sources as well. The Amik Dabar says Pshat in these words. Again, it's going to work here, it's going to work at the end of the Parsha. Says the Amik Dabar that, let me just find it again. Yes, the Tov Lach. Dam Hanoki Ein Lo Menucha. The Dam Hanoki, the innocent blood, is not resting. The haruach shot ba'olam umachabel. The spirit of the victim is hovering in the world, and it's a destructive force. It's just unredeemed. The spirit of the victim is out there. Koma sharuach yochalasos. Achanishbach dam hashof knows the spirit, the ghost of the victim is seeking vengeance. Unbelievable. Very spooky. The ghost of the victim is looking around the world to get even. We've got to do something to provide justice for the fact that this person was killed. V'nacha gam damo. And when you finally carrying out the capital punishment against the murderer, then the blood will rest. V'zeh tov lach. So this idea, the Ksav HaKabbalah runs with it, and he develops it even further. The Ksav HaKabbalah says, he says, has it fit the words? It's as if the blood is still visible. It's as if the blood has not been taken care of. The Dam Naki is still uncovered. It's still revealed because the land is not absorbing it, obviously figuratively in some way. And it's looking to get punishment against the murderer. And that's why it says by Cain, when we judge the murderer, then the land will be appeased. And the Tzvor HaMor develops it in this incredible way. He says it's a sod misisrei HaTorah, says the Tzvor HaMor, that the Harug, the victim whose blood was spilled, he's wandering, like the Netziv was saying it, Bekitzer, it's wandering all over the world, and it's not going up to heaven. The soul cannot ascend to heaven until there's some justice that's going to be carried out. And therefore, because the soul can go up, there's all kinds of midas hadin, that's shora in the world, and therefore, he goes on with psukim, kot me'achicha tzokom imenu adama, and the pasuk by David, atzilo mecherev nafshi miyad kelev yichidasi, all kinds of ideas here, I don't even know all the depth of it. He says, hadam hu anefesh, and therefore, there has to be revenge. There has to be a sense of justice. And therefore, if you want the tov lach, you have to find a way to kill the murderer. And I was thinking, we had Tisha B'Av, I guess, not too long ago, you know, what is it, 6 weeks ago? Less, 3 weeks ago. When was Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, yeah, we're in Elul now. 3 weeks ago. So we have the Piyud Yom Achbi of Yehuda HaLevi, the Kina, the Gemara in Gittin and Midrashim, Eicha Rabasi, about the blood of Zechariah, who for 200 years, he was murdered, right? Yom Kippur in Azara, 200 years the blood was boiling. And Nebuzaradan comes and sees the blood boiling, it's not resting, and he's killing Nebuch, tens of thousands of people, until the blood is coming to rest. What's the idea? It's mamish this idea that we see in these Svarim, and the Pasuk itself is saying, according to them, what this idea is. There has to be some way to atone for the blood, and that's why the words fit. V'ata dam anaki miYisrael, because the blood is there, and it's only with some way that you can carry out the onesh against the murderer that the blood will come to rest, the blood will be absorbed, and it won't be out there, and the neshama can ascend back to heaven. You see the incredible idea within the pasuk. So we have a range of psukim, a range of perushim in the pasuk. I would have loved to get to Adam Zomimin, but it's quite, maybe I'll just end with this. I was going to say a lot about Edom Zomim, but just to leave it with this. There's a halacha by Edom Zomim of kasher zaman velo kasher asa, right? Which is striking, because here you have the great aveira of Edom Zomim that they're going to be put to death if they simply impose the psak din of misa on somebody, and yet if in fact the person is killed, then after the fact, you're not going to kill the Edom. Here it's almost like the argument of those who say, let's have compassion, it actually carries its weight. Not necessarily that's the justification, but that's the halacha. In the end of the day, the Edom caused the person to die, and then they won't actually be put to death. The question is this. Let's go to understand why this is. So the Ramban has a comment here later on that pasuk Yutes, on that drasha that Rashi quotes, kasher zamam, only zamam velo kasher asa, hargu eina rogin, lashon Rashi. So the Ramban says quickly, he says, I'll tell you why. Ba'avur ki mishpat ha'edim ha'zomin b'gzeras ha'shalit. The justice that's being meted out against Edom Zomim is, you could call it gzeras ha'kasuv, Hashem decreed that it should be carried out. Heim shnayim u'shnayim. Really, it's two against two. Why are we suddenly believing the second peer over the first? Now, there's a kasha that they ask from an earlier Rabban. We didn't read it. The Rabban does give something of a pshat in how you understand why the Torah believed the second peer over the first. Because it's as if the second peer are testifying on the actual Edom themselves. It's not about the story, it's about you. So they can't rebut that. So how does that square with this Ramban? That's another discussion, we can't get into it. But Umayisa, the Ramban says it's Gzeres HaKasuv. This could be maybe the Gedder of the Gzeres HaKasuv. So therefore, V'nei Kashe Yavoha Shnayim V'yayidu Ruven Shaharagas HaNefesh. So two people say that Ruven killed the Avoshnaim Acherim V'yazim, well, some may do some, and then they say, no, you weren't there, you didn't see it. Siva Kasuv Sheyahargu. Why? Because here's how we understand what happened. Ki b'schusu sheruven shayonaki b'tzadik ba'amaisa zeh. Why did Hashem allow the second pier to come just in time to say that the first pier couldn't have seen what they said they saw? Because the Reuben's justified merit. If he really deserved to die, Reuben, then Hashem would have allowed Reuben to die. But the fact that they came in the nick of time to spare Reuben's life, therefore we believe the second pier with the Xeris HaKasuv. But im nera Reuben, if Reuben would have already been killed by the first Adin, nachshov, then we have to reinterpret what we have here, and we have to say shaya emes kosher idu avrishon. And then mistama, the first pier of Adam did in fact testify correctly. Hashem wouldn't have abandoned him, and therefore Hashem wouldn't have let the great tzaddikim of the Beis Din to spill innocent blood, which is a great ma'ala of Shoftei Yisrael, and so on. There's a very interesting question regarding kasher asa by other situations, not misa. The Ramban is a specific story here by misa. So by mammon, those who were makis asiyari meir, of course you know what I'm referring to, shaila and rishonim, whether we say by mammon, if the person paid away the money, and now edim became zomin, do we say kasher zamam or not? Do we say it's kasher asa, it's too late, we don't punish the edim to pay the money to the person? Or do we say, no, for whatever possible reasons, efshe b'chazara, that we do have the edim pay? But then there's another question by Malkus. Pashtus Malkus should be what? Should be like Misa, be like Mammon. So there's most Rishonim assume that Malkus is the same as Misa. And meaning if the person got Malkus already, based on the testimony of the first pair of Aden, and then they became Zomimin, so then we won't carry out the Onesh of Malkus against the Aden Zomimin, because it's Kasher Asa. It's only Kasher Zomam and not Kasher Asa. But the Rambam famously holds otherwise. The Rambam says explicitly in Hilchos Eidos that the rule of kasher zamam velo kasher asa, so the Rambam says that it would not be true by mammon, nor would it be true by malchus either. And the question is, why not? Why would malchus, by malchus, why would we give the edim the onesh of malchus, even if the person already got the onesh of malchus based on their testimony? So here's where the Rambam's svara has to be filtered through the next level of malchus. The Kesef Mishnah has a few things to say, but one of the things he says is he uses this Ramban in Chumash. What would you think? If we go with the Ramban Svara, what would you think when it comes to Malkus? If the person already got Malkus, and now the Adam became Zomimin, did he deserve it? Did he not deserve it? By Misa, it's one thing. What about by Malkus? So the Kesef Mishnah says, here in Perek Chaf of Halacha Beis of Hilchos Eidos, he says, the second reason, he says, Pshan the Rambam, but Od Yeshlomar Tamacher, Shami Achesh Okim Nitsa Badas Kale, Ilu Ohoya Losha Hoya Chayb Zemisa, Wayamnecha Kadosh Baruch Hu Haskim Shati Abed Nefesh Mi Yisrael. Had he not been guilty, Hashem would have let him die. Umi Achesh Niacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Obeisin Shiaskimu Laro Gazev and Nerag Chayb Misa Hoya, and therefore Ein Eidem Mishpat Mavis. That's the Ramban Svara. Masha, ain't Lomar came to Malkus. So the Kesef Mishnah says, when it comes to Malkus, the Svara doesn't hold, and therefore the Rambam can say, by Malkus, even by Kasher Asa, you'll give the Malkus punishment to the Eden. Says the Tosus Yantif, I don't get it. Why can't we argue the Ramban Svara by Malkus as well? The end of Perek Rishon of Malkus, the Tosus Yantif, quotes this Kesef Mishnah, and he doesn't agree with him. He says, I could take the Ramban Svara and say the same thing. If the person really didn't deserve to get Malkus, Hashem wouldn't have let him get Malkus. So he says, Kesef Mishnah is Machavin to the Ramban Svara, he didn't quote the Ramban, but he says the Ramban Svara could carry over to everything. We don't see a reason to distinguish. So therefore, he thinks that Mammon, I understand, could be different, but Malkus should be no different than Misa. So this is an interesting issue as well, just one part of a larger sugya about Kasher Zamlo, Kasher Asa, when it comes to Misa and Malkus. Everybody, thank you for joining. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a good Chodesh, and a Tzivuch Simatova. We're in Elul, so Shkayach. Okay. Good to see you.